on 1116 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki.
Hey. 23 minutes to 10 o'clock. It's time to talk cycling. A Tour de France update for the Volvo Cars Brighton Clearance Centre. Clearance sale, I should say. On now. Drive away with great value from Volvo Cars Brighton. Phil Rockner, good morning to you.
G'day, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Troy Zantuck with us as well. And Chris Froome looks like he's on the verge of a third consecutive Tour de France triumph.
Yeah, well, it's done. It's the time trial last night, boys, 22 kilometres. He did enough to just beat those rivals around him. And that's all he's done this Tour de France. He's done nothing special. He's done nothing spectacular. He's done nothing bold and brave off the front. What he's done is just ridden the tactically most superior race that we've seen in probably the last four or five, and probably the easiest one of his four wins. He's just followed wheels. And it sounds really easy for me to just say he's just followed wheels, but that's all he's had to do while his competitors have all imploded.
Phil, the feel-good story for Australian cycling, obviously, Michael Matthews, just a tremendous performance, and pretty much he only needs to avoid disaster to win the green jersey.
Yeah, this is not just for Australian cycling. I mean, it's for Australian sport. This guy has, when he first got to the Tour de France this year, had, you know, some pretty big mountains to climb, literally, and he also had some pretty big competitors as well, with the likes of Sagan, and also there's a number of really fast sprinters in that group. What he's managed to do is just overcome all that. I mean, we saw Sagan get ejected. We saw Kittel, who fell. But even if Kittel hadn't have fallen, I was pretty convinced Matthews was going to get him on points. And Matthews has ridden a really good race. In fact, his Sunweb team boys are going to take home two jerseys. They're going to get the green jersey with Matthews, and they're going to get the polka dot jersey as well. And they've got four stage wins. So you'd have to say they're the massive winners out of this year's Tour de France. And they're all very much, everyone here's talking about the ride of Matthews and what the future holds for him, because his next contract, boys, is going to be a fat one.
Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that for him, and as you said, for Australian cycling. And, well, we've provided plenty of action, haven't we? Richie Porte also in the last couple of years. So we seem to have some fairly good contenders in the tour in the cycling world at the moment.
Well, it's just nice to be talking about people in the third week. You know, we spend a lot of time with Cadell Evans, and we've talked about Stuart O'Grady and Baden Cook and Robbie McEwen and those guys before them. We sort of talked about them in bits and pieces. But once we started talking about Cadell Evans in that third week of the Tour de France as an overall contender, and now we've got Richie Porte, who, look, crash aside, he was a genuine contender at this event and showed all the signs in the early preview races of being a contender. And he'll be back as well. I mean, he's in hospital now, et cetera, but there's already a fire that's been lit, he's been saying, for him to come back. So there's really good stories around cycling again. And, guys, this is a really good story too, cycling in general, because what we haven't seen are the superhuman efforts that we've been seeing in previous editions of the Tour de France that have been marred by those drug controversies. We're not seeing that anymore. What we're seeing is a real humanity about these bike riders, and the fact that when they do go flat out one day, the next day they're cooked, as you would expect to be if you weren't doing anything that you shouldn't be doing. And I think the sport's done a huge job of cleaning itself up and a huge job of investing in the image of it as well, and that it's come back probably as good as ever. The crowds on the road are enormous. The European press are all over this event once again, and we get more and more better stories coming out of it, which is not to say we're completely naive, but it's to say, look, it's a heck of a lot better than it was a decade ago.
The final day is an interesting day, isn't it, Phil, for the fact that it's a 103-kilometre trek into Paris where they finish under the Champs-Élysées, and it's one of those days where it's sort of like a gentleman's ride, isn't it, because no one overtakes anyone, there's no challenges, providing you don't fall and break your leg, you finish where you finish.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, Shebex, and that's what they do. The story goes that you don't start racing until you see the top of the Eiffel Tower, which is quite funny in itself, but it is. But the racing's done. There is, you know, always the opportunists, you know, who try and get up the road and that kind of thing. But generally what you'll see tonight, if you're watching the coverage, you'll see the champagne and the team cars and all the pose for all the media shots, et cetera. And then once they get to the Champs-Élysées, they do want to put the foot down because it is a prestigious stage to win. Michael Matthews will be in the mix somewhere. You can't miss him. There'll be the guys like Kittel who are not there anymore are going to make the second-tier sprinters all sit up a little bit more. So it could be a little bit hectic on the Champs-Élysées, but there's no more racing to be done. This is Chris Froome's yellow jersey. This is number four. He won't be challenged, and he'll roll into Paris and just get his team around him, and he'll get through the last few laps of that wonderful Champs-Élysées and then take the podium as the number one.
With Chris Froome, if he gets the chocolates, Phil, it'll be four in the last 5 years. It puts him up there with some exalted company, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. He the likes of Jacques Anquetil and Eddie Merckx and those sorts of guys who won five, Miguel Indurain, the Spaniard, would be another one. He's well and truly there, and he was saying in the press, and look, he hasn't done a lot of press this tour as well. The two media days on the rest day that he was supposed to attend, he decided not to. He, of course, he's directed Dave Brailsford. He's causing all sorts of controversy himself, and I think Froome's done a really good job of distancing himself from Brailsford, who I think might be showing the door at the end of this one. He's not brought the Sky team into any great lengths this year with some of his comments. But Froome's done a nice job of distancing himself from that and just getting it done. And he did say in the media, though, that he was quite honoured to be mentioned in such a company as the riders who have made this race so great in the early stages of the event, and well and truly deserved too. I mean, we sort of say he's ridden a fairly straightforward tour, but it takes a heck of a lot of dedication. It takes a heck of a lot of training and planning to get everything right to peak for those, you know, three or four crucial days throughout the course of the 3 weeks.
Appreciate your time, Phil. Thank you very much. What time do you go to sleep on Monday night?
Oh, mate, you know, it's a nightly thing, Shebex. It's just one of those things to see what's going on. But look, this is probably my 14th or 13th year on SEN doing this, and it, every year it throws up its unique talking points. But it's been another fun ride.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
Phil Rockner there, SEN cycling expert, with thanks to Volvo Cars Brighton's clearance sale. On now, drive away with a great value car from Volvo Cars in Brighton. Speaking of great value, what about the fantastic value that you get down there in Albert Park?
Yes, Dundas Place, Shebex. Yes. It's Dundas and Fawcett, you better believe it. And on a day like today, you've got to tuck into the five grains porridge. Follow that with the eggs Benedict with either ham, bacon or smoked salmon if you don't mind, umpire. Or if you've got a bit of a sweet tooth, the ricotta hotcakes. Ooh, and the French toast. Ooh la la. 111 Dundas Place, it is where the stars align for fabulous food and wine.
Can we call it the Tour de France toast for today?
Just for today, the Tour de France. Absolutely. That's very clever, Shebex. Oh, I'm very impressed.
Troy. Appreciate that, Troy. We should mention Manchester City are closing in on a deal which would make Monaco's Benjamin Mendy the world's most expensive defender at PS 52 million, which is 85 million Australian, mate. Not bad at all.
It's not,
Bring you up to date with what's happening.
Not bad cabbage, Shebex.
Bring you up to date with what's happening in the Open and also in tennis in just a tick.